Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find everything you need at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, so very much going on in the world, it's essentially impossible to stay on top of it all. So what we've decided to do for our first story on this 153rd episode is to just roll all of the amazing scandals going on in the District of Criminals, just put them all together, and I'll use essentially just the facts that we can grab that we know from Wikipedia, and I'll use an article from Daily Caller that I think asks an interesting question of what we might be looking at. How the IRS, Benghazi, and Associated Press scandals might all converge. So just to kind of give this story, last Friday, as of course is always the way that they'll try and dump things on a weekend, hoping no one will notice. Last Friday, ABC News reported the Benghazi talking points underwent 12 revisions in an apparent attempt to downplay the terrorism angle. Later the same day, last Friday, the IRS apologized for targeting conservative groups. And now, just a couple of days ago, it was revealed that the Department of Justice had seized phone records of Associated Press reporters. So to just kind of give the essential facts to get on the same page, so to speak, we all know about Benghazi, the latest 9/11 event on 9/11/2012. But just to put on the record about this IRS Tea Party investigation, it began in March 2010, where the IRS more closely scrutinized certain organizations applying for tax-exempt status, and it even looked at the kind of words that they used. If you're, you know, Obamacare or Making America Better or the 9/12 organization, any of those sort of keywords, the IRS was given extra scrutiny. So now, May 2013, the IRS revealed that it had actually done all of this, and now it's political condemnation and all the fingers pointing and all those things. So it's interesting to note, and again, this Daily Caller article, in both cases, Benghazi and IRS, there is at least the appearance that the Obama administration might have used the levers of power to help guarantee the president's reelection. So then what we just found out this past Monday, May 13th, the news agency Associated Press announced that the Justice Department seized office telephone records for 20 AP reporters for a two-month period in 2012. AP described the acts as a massive and unprecedented intrusion into news gathering operations. The AP reported that the Justice Department would not say why it sought the records, but news sources noted that the District of Columbia U.S. Attorney's Office was conducting a criminal investigation into a May 7, 2012 Associated Press story about a CIA operation that stopped a terrorist plot to detonate a bomb on an airplane. So it's interesting to note, James, that now that all of this has unleashed and Attorney General Holder recused himself from the Associated Press records subpoena, the acting IRS chief has now resigned, and Obama has now finally given his statement. I believe he said, quote, "I'm angry." And now it seems like there's almost a feeding frenzy going on, whereas Obama got the most unbelievable pass we've maybe ever seen in modern history from the press. Now it is that feeding frenzy, and everybody's kind of going on and going for it. And one, it's fascinating to note that this is all essentially playing out 40 years to the weeks and months of Watergate. And I think, James, it's also fascinating to see now, in a way, you know, the wheels are coming off the empire when they don't even know which scandals they're looking at and uncovering each other's scandals. So in a way, I would look at this and go, great, you guys are all going to destroy each other.
James. I wish I was that optimistic. I do obviously, I mean, agree with everyone who's talking about this to say that the wheels are coming off Obama and his second term, and this is, you know, this is the turning of the press against the once untouchable golden boy. I agree with all that, but it seems to me like they're just getting ready to change the lining on the birdcage yet again, and it doesn't seem like any of these scandals are going to touch on any of the core issues that are really underlying them. For example, Benghazi, who cares about the talking point memo? This is not the issue with Benghazi. Benghazi was I mean, A, first and foremost, a stand down, and B, it was there was secret, shady CIA shenanigans going on with transporting weapons to Syria and everything. And of course, all of that gets completely sidelined in this talking about the talking points. Or when you take the AP scandal, it's like suddenly the journalists out there actually care. Oh, you're seizing some of our phone records. Oh, this is a big scandal. But of course, warrantless wiretapping and the now open admission that the NSA spies on all electronic communications going on in the United States. Apparently, that's no big deal. That's not really worth getting in a tizzy over. So I think this is, again, these types of scandals that are really just going to have that kind of political left-right effect. Oh, now we can throw out the left puppet and position ourselves for a 2016 right puppet, or even sooner if impeachment comes. Who knows what can happen in the next few years. But again, I don't see any of this going to the core of the issue. And also, I mean, another thing to keep in mind whenever there's these types of big scandals that break is what else are we being distracted from? And one thing that I've noticed in the past few days that probably should be getting a lot more attention is this SEAL Team 6 families held a press conference to talk about how they believe the SEAL Team 6 members who died in that chopper crash in Afghanistan were basically killed by the administration, who basically put them right in harm's way in the worst possible situation, violated standard operating procedure, et cetera, to basically ensure that those SEAL Team 6 members died. And that scandal isn't getting any traction because of all the other ones. So again, it is interesting to see what's happening. And hey, I'm not going to shed any tears over Obama going down, but I think that there's bigger political meat behind all of this. And as always, that's going to be obscured.
I think, and you make all great points. It's interesting to note in the AP case and in the media case that, yeah, it gives them the chance to go, holy moly, this is a big story and it concerns our favorite subject, us. So it keeps it all kind of, you know, incestuous and kind of in the family, so to speak. James, we'll move quickly to our second story, but in a way it still reminds me. I mentioned it last week. The David Fincher series that's on Netflix, House of Cards. I'm like, yeah, I'd just as soon watch House of Cards because the acting is much, much better. Our second story, James, is probably one of the biggest stories here of the past week as far as people just talking about it. This was one, and again, I do work in a newsroom and we talk about a lot of stories, but this is one that just had everybody, the water cooler kind of conversation. And we'll take it from the Los Angeles Times, as well as Natural News, where one, Angelina Jolie will have her ovaries removed next. That is already after undergoing a cancer preventative double mastectomy and breast reconstruction. Now Angelina Jolie will follow up with surgery to remove her ovaries as well. This was just now the most recent story. Angelina Jolie's mother, Marceline Bertrand, died of ovarian cancer at the age of 56 after fighting the disease for a decade, and doctors said Jolie has a 50% chance of developing the same. The actress revealed all of this in an op-ed piece in the New York Times, which will, of course, include the show notes as we do everything we mention on these episodes. The 37-year-old mother of six said she and her children have often discussed mommy's mommy. Quote, I find myself trying to explain the illness that took her away from us, she wrote. They have asked if the same could happen to me. Ultimately, James, what really happened is she did a preventative move. And the complete opposite take from Mike Adams and naturalnews.com, Angelina Jolie inspires women to maim themselves by celebrating medically perverted double mastectomies. This essentially is a tabloid story, James, but as is often the case, I think it really sheds a lot of light on a lot of interesting things, going to say the very least. Just what's your thoughts on this?
Well, it is a tabloid story, but like so many tabloid stories, it provides an entree for a lot of people to sort of broach these types of conversations that they otherwise wouldn't. And now what's the talk of the town is double mastectomies. Let's cut off our breasts, because that's the best way to prevent cancer, right? Oh, well, I might get lung cancer one day. I might as well just cut out my lungs. It is atrocious that people can be led to believe that after 100 years of Rockefeller-funded, Rockefeller-driven cancer research, the best we can do is basically hack off body parts because you might one day develop cancer. But unfortunately, people are being trained that this is the way to go, and Angelina Jolie is getting such praise from all sectors. Oh, she's such a brave woman for doing this, and she's opening up this conversation, but I think we know that this type of Hollywood star conditioning is usually the way that people are led into false paradigms and false solutions. So I would hope people would take a look at the Natural News article, which talks about the real issue here, which is why people are developing cancer in such numbers and what the real roots of this problem is, which is more important than what we can do to one day perhaps, you know, it's headed off at the pass by chopping off our limbs.
I found most people who, you know, when the subject was mentioned at work, most people had the just like, what? And again, no, you know, I'm not in her shoes. I can't make those decisions. And ultimately, that's you know, it's the freedom to do those sorts of things. But I can't help but look at this as Angelina Jolie is a very high profile member, I think, of this kind of class. And we talk about it time after time. She is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. That's why she's always in the news so much. I can't help but look at this as, yeah, she's helping to push this agenda that to me, yeah, it just smacks of some kind of futuristic state where, again, you'll just be hacked and chopped. But again, they'll be able to do that. It won't be there for any of us. James, interesting that you do mention your lungs, because I would just like to put on the record right now that today marks 10 months since I quit smoking cigarettes. And
hats off to you. And that's a much better way of hoping to prevent the cancer than cutting your lungs out, I think.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm hoping. Our third and final story this week, James, Bill Gates, Bloomberg, and the world's richest all meeting on a gated South Carolina island. Has the Bilderberg meeting maybe become a little too mainstream for some of the world's richest elites? Warren Buffett and, of course, the Monsanto-linked Bill Gates to Oprah and Jeb Bush. The local media in South Carolina began reporting a little bit on closed-door meetings between billionaires and politicians at the gated beach island of Kiawa, South Carolina. So this story from storyleak.com basically points out that it seems like only one CBS affiliate there, WBTW, is reporting on it, where they note that 20 highly expensive jets were lined up at the Charleston International Airport on Johns Island, and that Bill Gates and others were at the Sanctuary Hotel on Kiawa Island. The attendee list, according to the CBS report, includes Jeb Bush, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Bill and Melinda Gates, Dan Gilbert, who's the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Warren Buffett, Oprah, and many, many more. We wish them luck with what they're doing, Mayor Charles LaPuma said. If they want to play golf, they couldn't have picked a better weekend. We are glad we could offer them great weather. The mayor is just so thrilled he could offer them up some great weather. So who cares what they're actually doing? So who cares about any of the concerns of whether or not, you know, it completely violates fundamental laws of crafting policy behind closed doors? But James, who cares?
Yeah, no big deal. No, this is Shades of the Good Club. I'm sure everyone might recall back May 5th, 2009, when at the President's House at Rockefeller University, Buffett, Gates, Rockefeller, Turner, Winfrey, and others met a combined net worth of $125 billion, conservatively, met behind closed doors to talk about population reduction. And that came out little by little in a few stories here and there in the international press. And this time, we don't have any inroads so far as to what they're talking about, but I bet you if it ever does come out, it'll be something along the lines of population control, eugenics, biometrics, whatever the next craze might be. And it's important for people to keep their eyes on these types of meetings as much as possible as well. Obviously, a lot of attention gets put on things like the Bilderberg meeting that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks here in Watford in England, and deservedly so. I think obviously people should show up there. They should protest. They should make their voices heard. They should let them know that we are watching them. But equally so in this connected age, I mean, we would be ridiculously naive to think that Bilderberg was just this one-off thing that happens once a year and that's the only meeting that takes place. Obviously, these people are meeting all over the world at all times and not necessarily face-to-face. This is an electronic age. So all sorts of backroom dealings go on that we can only begin to even get a sense and a tingling of what's going on with our spidey sense. So it is important for us to try to keep our eye on this and to remember that even things like the Bilderberg Group, although they do have their once annual big meeting, they also have a lot of off the record unofficial functions, like the Bilderberg dinner at which the dear leader of the Fourth Reich, Hermann von Rumpy of the European Union, was selected for his position. I believe that was back in December of 2009 or something, a few years ago now anyway. So there's a lot of events that take place, and we should be trying to dig up as much dirt on this as we can as well, because again, all these sorts of backroom dealings are taking place all throughout the year, and we shouldn't just concentrate on the one-off Bilderberg event. I mean, there's a lot more that goes on behind closed doors.
I hadn't really thought of it until you kind of were talking there, James. We should also mention, because I don't think either of us ever have mentioned it, of course, a hat tip and rest in peace to Jim Tucker, one of the longtime investigative journalists who let us actually pretty much know about Bilderberg. He's one of the main key guys in getting that story out. James, maybe instead of population control, maybe they're just crafting up the 2016 run where it's just going to be, you know, Jeb and George P. Bush run against Hillary, because it's, you know, that's all the circle of life. And in a way,
the inclusion of Jeb Bush in that list should make us all very nervous for 2016.
Uh-huh. So in a way, that kind of circles all the way around from Washington Scandalgate and Angelina and CFR eugenics and all of those things. James, one last thing I'll mention before we quickly wrap up here. Of course, we have mentioned Monsanto. I was really happy to see you just published an interview with someone on the March Against Monsanto, which is coming up, of course, worldwide, May 25th. And James, the next time you and I talk right here on The New World next week, we will have the results of the much anticipated fluoride vote here in Portland. So right here next week, we'll give it to you one way or the other, James.
And I hope people in Portland will be doing what they can in the meantime to influence the outcome of that vote. But at any rate, we'll be here to cover it. So once again, thank you for your time, James.
Thanks so much. Take care.